You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Corn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Craig Swan and Michael Gannon. Guys, how are you both?
Good, thanks.
All good, chaps. How are we?
Good, thanks. Couldn't be better. I know it's International Week, but Celtic news keeps flowing. There's always plenty to talk about. I know we're a couple of days after Celtic's win over St Johnstone, Craig, but it was a big win for Celtic. I think, like a lot of fans, thought Craig Levein, you know, would come to Celtic Park very hard to beat. But a big win, and Kyogo back to his best at the weekend.
Well, in fairness, Craig Levein did come to Celtic Park with an attempt to be hard to beat by the way he set his team up. But Celtic did something that they have failed to do on quite a few occasions this term at home. When faced with that, they played with real pace. They played with real intensity about them. They moved the ball around quickly. They engineered chances. They made chances. As you say, Kyogo was looking sharp again, obviously benefiting from a wee spell on the bench. It looked like he was back hungry and keen to, I wouldn't say prove a point, but whether he was refreshed or whatever it was, he certainly looked more like his old self. St Johnstone offered very little, and in fairness, without taking anything away from Celtic, they made it easier for Celtic to keep pressure on them, because basically the midfield boys basically stood 10 yards in front of the back four and wouldn't come out. So whenever St Johnstone got a ball forward quickly, cleared the lines, Carter Vickers nipped it in the bud immediately and got it straight to Tomoki Iwata, who could have played with his slippers on. And he had so much room, and they could just keep the tempo and keep the pressure on. So St Johnstone turned out a good opponent for Celtic. Unlike the first game at Celtic Park early in the season, they got the goal. Where that 0-0 game in August was just the same, created a load of, not as many chances, but they just couldn't get the ball over the line to get the first goal to open to take the pressure off themselves. And they got it this time, and it was fairly plain sailing after that.
My this is going to sound a bit random, but my best mate is Kyogo's next door neighbour, and they live in the same block of flats. And he said that the other day on Friday, he said he was sitting in his flat and he just heard his door creak open, and he turned around and there was four Japanese people suddenly in his hall shouting in Japanese and pointing. And long story short, they had walked into the wrong flat and it was Kyogo's family. So I've got a theory. I think maybe his family's over. He was looking to impress them. He's got a bit of company. So I think from a Celtic point of view, if they could just move over, that'd be brilliant.
So were the family just a little bit offside, will they, aye?
Just a touch, aye?
Living next door to Kyogo would be great. Imagine the rain came on when you'd have washing it. Be the fastest guy ever to get it in. It'd be tremendous.
Lives in that kind of offside zone, doesn't he, Kyogo? Just over the threshold of the front door.
he says, and this won't surprise anyone, but he says he's the most polite, most lovely guy ever. He's came to his door with deliveries and all that and bows when he gives it in and stuff. And
you've got to say, he's not taking the huff at not getting picked in recent weeks. I mean, some players, if you're the top scorer for two seasons, the main man, and you get bumped at the team for a loan signing, some guys might take the huff, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's clearly had a good attitude and come back, and he's back to his best at the weekend, right on the shoulder. It's all about delivery with Kyogo. The game hasn't changed, he's not doing anything different. He just wasn't getting the service. The wide men at Celtic this season have been fairly woeful at times, but you're now seeing a bit more service. I mean, Nicholas Kuhn, early balls into the box, getting by a man. It's no coincidence that Kyogo sparks into life when the service gets better.
And also certain guys not being there, Michael. I mean, there was great examples of him getting across his man for balls across the face on Saturday, but there was one in the first half. Anybody who was at the game will have seen it. He kind of dropped into a deeper area and made one of those great runs straight through the middle. He could have driven a bus through it. And he had these two hands down as if, play me now, play me now, play me now. And Tomoki Awata just didn't see it. Yeah. If that's Rio Itati or Callum McGregor, he's in. And that's not against Tomoki Awata. He just didn't see it. And so there's still much more in the tank, I'd say.
Yeah, that's the key to it, isn't it, for Kyogo? It's all about service. But it looks like Celtic are creating. I mean, I think they were in the box, the St. Johnson box, and the weekend more than any game this season, more than any team this season, been in a opposition penalty area, created a barrel of chances. I think they'll actually might look back on the weekend with a little bit of regret. It wasn't 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. A 3-1, a two-goal kind of swing was the least they could have got out the weekend. It should have been 4-5, 6-0. The goal they lost was a bit ragged as well when they made some changes. So there might be, that's the only downside. I thought they played very well. Craig was touching on St. Johnson. I mean, I don't think I've seen a team as deep as St. Johnson. I mean, they were literally at one point on their own goal line. I mean, two off the line, ones, the penalty kick shout, and then one off Awata. They couldn't, if they any deeper, they'd be sitting quoting French poetry. Honestly, it was unbelievable. They managed to hang on.
They paid council tax in the Celtic box.
Honestly, it was preposterous how deep they were. But they got, listen, they have a shot on goal for half an hour. First half an hour, they got a shot on goal. Just trying to work it out how to break that down. But once that goal came, it was it should have been 4, 5, 6, to be honest with you. Like, St. Johnson couldn't keep the ball, couldn't get out. The amount of chances was ridiculous. What was it? I mean, was it three goals ruled out by offside and VAR? Mm-hmm. Penalty shout, the ball hit the under the bar. I mean, it was a pretty comprehensive thumping. And just what Celtic needed and wanted to get an international break after a particularly kind of bumpy start to the year, isn't it?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I know it is the international break, and Celtic, even when they come back, they've got Livingston before the trip to Ibrox, but I thought it was really timely, that Kyogo performance through the middle. Showing or just reminding everyone how class he is ahead of that Ibrox visit?
Well, the thing that everybody has maintained, I know every game is a big game for Celtic, but that old cliche, big game player, and he really rises to the occasion. Celtic could have 10 games left this season. Two of them will be two Old Firm games in the league and potentially a cup semi-final and a cup final. You're talking about 50%. They're all going to be massive. And if you've got a big game player on fire, he couldn't be timing his run any better.
Aye, that's true. And I mean, I know we're, as I say, a few weeks off, Mick, but I'd be stunned if Kyogo didn't start at Ibrox if I went in ahead of him.
Yeah, me too. But a little bit more space as well for him, because Rangers have to come out in that game and they can't be sitting deep and trying to frustrate. So there's a bit more space for him to kind of exploit. I would think I'm the same. I think he'd be nailed on for that game. If he comes through the Livingston game, first of all, but yeah, I would expect to see him leading the line. He is a class act, and again, I go back to it, it's all about the service. It's just get a quick ball to him. He's a major threat.
Mm-hmm. And Swanee, you mentioned him before, but Kuhn, I think a lot of Celtic fans were a bit underwhelmed by his first couple of appearances, but he looked brilliant at the weekend, and maybe starting to show why Celtic shelled out a sizeable fee for him.
Yeah, I'd maybe temper brilliant. I thought he was good. I thought he was effective. A wee bit to go yet before brilliant, but the lad's obviously making up for lost time, and I know he had some issues with teeth and weight and things like that. You know, lost a lot of weight when he first got here, and it's taken him a wee bit of time to build up, and it's not easy. Not everyone hits the ground immediately. Certainly excellent signs. I mean, the delivery for the goal against Livingston for Dyson Maeda, and then the delivery for Kyogo. And what I really, the part that was really pleasing, I would imagine, for Brendan Rodgers was, I think I made reference to it in the match report, the way he finished that second goal, not even the way he finished it, but where he was to finish it. That was Jota and Abada. That's what Celtic have been missing. The ball's on the other side. Kyogo makes a run down one side. The other wide player has got to get between the sticks. Mm-hmm. How many goals did those two score doing that? And and Celtic haven't done that enough this season. And to see him 5 yards ahead of the fullback, he was switched on, he was ahead of the game. Well, you could say the fullback was switched off. He's banging in front of the sticks to put a cross in the net. That's exactly what Celtic have been needing. And Maida did it the week before. So that's an encouraging sign, because that's something that's not happened anywhere near enough.
Mm-hmm. And I read today in today's Record Sport that Rio Hatate is playing in a bounce game at Lennoxtown today. Look, I know it'll all depend on how fit he is, but I think Brendan Rodgers must be eyeing that Rangers game to try and get him back in the starting 11, I imagine.
No chance.
No chance, no?
No chance. I can't see, unless he defies physics, he's got to come through at least an hour against Livingston in a plastic pitch, having played about 3 games in 9 months. It'd be a major gamble to put him back in the starting lineup at Ibrox. I get his quality, and he's a guy you want in that team every day of the week, but how can he be anywhere near fitness for that kind of game? I mean, would I be shocked to see him chucked back in? No, because he has got that quality, but I don't see how he can be anywhere near ready for it. Mm-hmm. I just can't. I mean, it's the worst possible game before it as well. Livingston away in the plastic pitch is not the game you want to be coming back to, either, to get an hour before that. I just think he played a couple of games around at Christmas, having missed a big chunk of the season. He's out for another 2 or 3 months. It's not like Callum McGregor. Callum McGregor coming back in, he's missed a few weeks. He's missed about 10 games in 5 seasons, so I don't think there's any issue with him going straight back into the team. I think Hatate starting at that kind of level, that kind of game, would be a gamble. Coming off the bench, I could see maybe. I just think it'd be a big gamble. Mm-hmm. Again, a game where Celtic are going to have to really get to grips with that middle of the park. It's going to be fast and frenetic, and it's going to be kind of chaotic at times. You need legs. You need a guy to run non-stop in there. Is he going to have that in the tank this early coming back? I just can't. I can't see how he physically can. It's not like the olden days when you'd have 4 or 5 reserve games after 3 months out, play twice a week for the reserves for a fortnight and then get back in. I mean, they don't have reserves anymore. They've got 21s and they only play about 6 games a season. So you don't have that. I mean, I talk about a bounce game. It's not a bounce game and an Old Firm game. Couldn't be any more different. Do you know what I mean? It's barely the same sport. I just think it's a really difficult ask to come back in for that game.
Michael, I think there's an interesting parallel from earlier in the season as well, when Hatate missed when he got injured at Aberdeen. I think it was the second week of the season. He was out for a while. And he came back into the team, didn't really perform for 2 or 3 games. It just took him a while to get up to speed. And in fairness to him, I think it was Lazio at home, maybe, and I can't remember another game, but whatever. He just took a wee bit of time to get up to full speed. Then he got there, and he was terrific against Hearts at Tynecastle. He was brilliant. Kilmarnock at Celtic Park, he was brilliant. He was flying again and then got injured against Athletic Madrid. So I think there is a precedent earlier in the season, and it might just take a wee bit of time to get up to speed.
I was going to say, so it did seem like a guy who needs a bit of time to warm up to get in each stride. And it's not a game you can afford to be finding your feet in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Celtic also have to remember that there will be a cup semi-final. There will be another game against Rangers. Brendan Rodgers will be mindful about, you know, grenading Rio Hatate back in if he doesn't think he's ready and break him down again for the rest of the season. There's still games to come.
Look what happened with Carter Vickers. I mean, Carter Vickers is back in and he's injured straight away. It's a vulnerable time and a high-octane match. I think it'd be a major gamble to start him that kind of game. And like you say, there's so many big games. This game won't be season-defining. I have a big say in it, but it won't define the season. There's big games to come, so it's not worth it. It wouldn't be worth the risk. I mean, he's had problems with it, both calves, hamstrings, and all that stuff. I think he needs time. He'll need time. And the worry is that the time is running out this season. Do you know what I mean? So if you want him to play a part in the final stage of the season, you need to be careful.
The only thing I would say is perhaps he's been. Perhaps Brendan Rodgers is already ahead of this, and he's maybe on a good level just now, and they're working him in the background harder maybe than what they did before he came back the last time. I would just say that, you know, maybe that's a possibility that, you know, he could have been ready to play, you know, the next game or last weekend. We don't know that exactly. and we were just managing it cleverly. I would think, I would agree with the original point, but it was just something extra I thought I'd throw in there. They might just be working him a wee bit harder before he comes back on the pitch and taking more time to test him out before they go in. It's possible.
Or it could be mind games just now that prepare for Hatate, and it turns out he's in all 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
That wouldn't surprise you either, would it?
I'm seeing a lot of that past him already.
It wouldn't surprise me to see like an Awata, McGregor, O'Reilly midfield at Ibrox. And that would also give a wee bit of insurance as well in terms of winning that midfield battle. But listen, we're away off that. We've still got to get through Livingston before that. And they've got to get through an international break where guys around the world. And Rogers will be praying that they get back. We asked him at the weekend about it, and he'll be praying that they get back in one piece, because so far this season, international breaks haven't been kind to Celtic. Hatate was injured with Japan during the international, during the Asian Cup. Early in the campaign, Lula Bada got injured practicing penalty kicks for Israel, missed a couple of months. So he'll be hiding behind the couch this week, hoping they all get back in one piece.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I guess time will tell. Away from Celtic Park, guys, I know we will all have read plenty about the fiasco at Dens Park on Sunday. Dundee were supposed to take on Rangers and it was called off. From a Celtic point of view, do you think it benefits them now being ahead, or do you think it makes much of a difference? You know, Rangers have got a game in hand, Celtic got a point in front. Do you think it makes a difference at this stage of the season, or is it negligible?
I don't think so. I think you take care of your own business and that's it. I don't think... Celtic will look at the league table now and think, oh great, they're a point ahead now. They'll be aware that Rangers have a game in hand. So I think Celtic's one and only focus. Listen, it's very simple for Celtic. You win all your games, you win the league. That's it. In fact, they don't even need to win them all. They win seven. So as long as one of the games they draw is one of the Rangers games, you win seven and you draw one, you win the league. That's it. So I don't think this mind games and stuff, I don't think it matters.
I think it might have had a slight impact if Celtic were playing the Saturday after the international break. They're not, they're playing the Sunday. If they get a chance to go from four clear on the Saturday, makes it interesting the Sunday, doesn't it? Playing Carl thinks playing catch up on the Sunday sometimes is a more pressurised environment sometimes. It's all perception, isn't it? Because it's only play the games. But maybe that would make it a slight. Also, the workload, I mean, Rangers might have a week when they've got the three games in the week. There's a suggestion it might be the Old Firm week as well, which could have an impact on that fixture again, which would tilt something, tilt it slightly towards Celtic. But we've seen all this before, and it doesn't matter. It's all the performances on the day, isn't it? We've seen teams coming back from European duty on a Thursday night and winning on a Sunday and all that stuff. So it doesn't really matter. It's all about kind of the outside perception, I think. I think Rangers have got Hibs, haven't they, on the Saturday when they come back. It's a good fixture at Ibrox as well, although Hibs' record there hasn't been great in recent years. But listen, we'll look for the kind of psychological benefits and hindrances and all that stuff and talk it all up, but I don't think it really matters to these teams.
I think it's fair, right? Another Celtic news this week is that Celtic are heading to the USA for a summer tour. It's not the first time that they've been there. Plenty of times before, and there's a cool photo story on Record Sport Online today with the best images of Celtic down the years playing Real Madrid with Mourinho and Totti with Roma and Boca Juniors. But I know obviously the money factor that is, you know, available to Celtic with stuff like this. But does it actually help the players with fitness at all, or is it a hindrance going all the way out there and playing all these teams?
I don't think it's a hindrance. I can't see how it's a hindrance.
I think I'd come back shattered, like flying.
Yeah, maybe, but the benefits to the club are obviously, they obviously think it's worthwhile.
Listen,
it'll be interesting. One thing I would say, sorry to interrupt, Michael, I always think that knowing when the European qualifiers are would be interesting before you start planning these things. I would have thought. Because Celtic have been in that great position the last couple of years. They haven't had any. They've been straight into the groups and have had free reign through the summer, but we don't know exactly when they're going to be starting by. But I'm quite sure Brendan Rodgers will have worked all that out. He'll know when, what stage Celtic could possibly go in and all of that stuff. I mean, you wouldn't want to be coming back 4 days before your first qualifier, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. So I wouldn't think it's an issue.
Yeah, the worst case scenario, Swanee, Celtic finish second in the league this year. They're going into the qualifying round three, the Champions League, and I think that's August 6th, 7th. So they'll get plenty of time, plenty of wriggle room.
That's fine. I don't see any hindrance then at all.
No, it makes the club money, and it's part of being a big club. A big club's going around the world every summer. If you're playing for Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham, you get on your bike and travel in the summer. That's just part of the nature. If you don't like it, don't play a big club. Simple as that.
Fair point, man.
The most important thing is the journalists get to go. That's the most important thing. The big IHOP tour of USA. I better get this bag of apples out, Swanee.
Michael Gannon's Guide to Wendy's. Other breakfast joints are available.
Celtic squad come back in great shape, and the journalists come back about 22 stone. Homer Simpson poncho.
That would happen if it was a pre-season game in Scarborough. It wouldn't make any difference. Oh, that's
fetch the pre-season poncho.
Well, I know, obviously, kind of, you've been on these trips before, Mike. I know you were in Australia back in the new year. From a reporter's point of view, is it a fun trip to go on? Is it enjoyable?
No, murder, absolutely.
Sorry, is the wife listening to this podcast?
Oh, it's terrible. We got to Sydney and all that stuff. Terrible. It's an absolute hardship. No, it's fantastic. I mean, it's just a great experience. To be honest with you, I think the players quite enjoy some of these aspects. I think they enjoyed going to Japan. Some of them I remember talking to Joe Hart, talked about it, and he quite enjoyed it, and enjoyed going to Australia and seeing a bit. They don't see an awful lot of these places. They get to do a wee bit. It's just a new experience for them. And going to America as well, I mean, there'll be good crowds, good games. They don't get the full kind of tourist experience, obviously, they're working hard. But it's a bit different, isn't it? It's a bit, when you're in deep and darkest December and you're up to Dingwall and all that stuff, these are enjoyable experiences for the players and for everyone. And it's good for the fans. Listen, we talk about it, it's a bit of a cliche, the kind of the worldwide support and all that stuff. And I think sometimes it's over-egged a wee bit. Well, there's definitely a lot of people who want to come and see Celtic around the club. I mean, we saw it in Japan, definitely saw it in Australia. And I think in America, I think they're talking about playing, is it Washington, North Carolina, and up in Notre Dame, up in Indiana.
Chelsea,
Notre Dame, yeah, so they'll be...
You can see Michael's done there,
can't they, already? I plotted the IHOPs along the way.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for these fans to come out and see their team. And you see them up. I mean, I saw it very evident in Sydney, a lot of the expat community and all that stuff. And they really did enjoy the chance to see their team. There's a lot of events on around the city and all that stuff, and meet and greets and fan things and all that. And they lapped it up. They really did. So it's worthwhile to give a bit back to them, make a few quid, and get prepared for the season.
And also, Michael, we've seen plenty. I mean, I can't speak for players, but I mean, we've been to enough training camps high in an Austrian mountain in the middle of nowhere where players are locked up for 10 days and grafting. I believe they would probably far enjoy going and seeing different parts of the world than having to go through that.
Well, listen, you know, it's like these pre-season, when you get to week two and you talk to players and you go, hey, you're on that lap, they're in cabin fever like that. so they really are. So it's a bit different as well. And they get to go for wee walks in the cities and all that stuff, and they do get to see a bit of the place. It's not, you see, they're not locked in some German wellness clinic in the middle of nowhere for 2 weeks.
When you get back to America,
if I go to America, yeah.
Plus, pretty cool as well. Like, if you're a Celtic youngster or a reserve player or whatever, I saw images earlier of Rocco Quinn marking Francesco Totti in a game in 2003, and Dylan McGeoch against Real Madrid. I mean, for players like that, it must be a really cool experience.
Not sure.
No?
Without a doubt.
No. Well, guys, I think that more or less brings us to the end of today's Record Celtic podcast. As ever, it was a pleasure. Craig, Michael, thanks very much.
Oh, we make some pancakes. I've talked myself into it now. So I'm going to go and get the pancakes out.
hopefully, Mrs. Gannon isn't listening to this one, but
myself into it.
guys, thanks very much. And thanks very much for listening home. Cheers.